Romans chapter 8 tonight. I'm going to let you stay seated tonight and rest. It's Wednesday and everybody's tired, I know. The Bible said in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, tonight that as Jesus taught us to pray, we can pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, we can know tonight, our Father, know you in an intimate way, know you, Lord, in a personal way. God, I pray tonight, Lord, when the service is over, that as the song was being played a while ago, all of us would be just a little bit nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're looking at the thought of Abba, Father. And this is the second time in the scripture that it's used. Jesus used it in the garden. We looked at that on Sunday. And what I want to look at tonight is in Romans 8 right here, talking about being a son of the living God. The Bible said here, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I had some things printed out tonight I was going to read to you, but I'll just give you the gist of it. You remember over in the scripture, the Bible said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So we believe that we're born into the family of God. But we also believe that we're adopted into the family of God. And you might wonder, why would God make the distinction like that? Well, adoption actually carries some privileges that birth doesn't carry. In other words, in Jewish tradition, you could disown a son that was a son by birth, but you could not disown a son that was a son by adoption. And you understand that son or daughter, amen? I believe that's one of the things the Lord said, was talking about when he said, in him that was neither male nor female, amen, but we're all one in Christ. And also tonight, when you're talking about adoption, the moment a person gets saved, there is a sense that they're a newborn babe, but there's also a sense where that they have all the privileges immediately of a full-grown son. Does that make any sense? Of an adult son, though we're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Bible said here, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he said, you've not received the spirit again, of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. If you look at the spirit there, those two words, it's a little s the first time it's used when it's talking about the spirit of bondage. But the second time it's used, it's a big S. It's the Holy Spirit when he's talking about the spirit of adoption. Now, if you go to John chapter number 3, 1 John, I'm sorry, chapter number 3 for just a moment. Look here what the Bible said about sonship. I was looking at this today, and it's a blessing. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So there is a sense, when you're talking about being a child of God, that we're birthed into the family. And there's another sense where we're adopted into the family. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 just a moment, then I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 8. Ephesians chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And probably the main two words in that verse are the last two, in Christ. That's where the blessing is, in Christ. Then he said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace. He hath made us to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom, I'm glad this word's still in my Bible, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. So tonight, when we're talking about that closeness and that relationship with the Lord, crying, Abba, Father, the Bible said, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, it is because we are sons of the living God. We're his children by birth, we're his children by adoption, and nothing will ever change that. I'll show you that in just a little bit. But what does it take? And what are some of the things that are evident in a person's life that is a child of God? By the way, before I go on, some of the modern Bibles, John 3:16, they didn't even get it right. Some of the modern Bibles will say something like this: for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. You say, well, that's not much different than ours. Ours says only begotten Son. Well, listen to me. It makes the verse a lie. Jesus Christ is not, what did I just read to you? He's not God's one and only Son. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But I think it's sad when you go to messing with God's word and you can't even get John 3:16 right. Amen? And it's sad. But thank God tonight we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And I appreciate that tonight. But the first thing I want to say about being a son of God is it requires faith. You know, when the Philippian jailer, he was fearful. He thought that he was going to have to die because the jailhouse, the doors had flew open, and he just figured since the doors are open, the prisoners have fled. And he came in trembling with a light, the Bible said, and he fell down before them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now listen to me. I'm not trying to change the Bible, but he's saying, what must I do to be born again? What must I do to be adopted into the family of God? And this is what they said: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's not a great big long exhortation. Amen. But in that day, beloved, people understood when the Bible said, Lord Jesus Christ. They were on one side of the fence or the other. They either believed that he was the Son of the living God, just like he said he was, or they nailed him to a cross because they didn't believe. That's why the thief, when he looked over at Jesus and said, Lord,
remember me when you come into your kingdom. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know he believed? He said, Lord. That's why they nailed him to that cross, because they didn't believe he was Lord. And at one time, that thief didn't believe he was Lord. But in the middle of all of that, and I don't think it's any accident, right after Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That thief looks over. I think he's got a little hope boiling up inside of him. If he can forgive them, maybe he can forgive me. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Bible said in chapter 8, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Everybody's going to die one of these days. And we're going to either die in Christ or outside of Christ. We're either going to die and go to heaven, or we're going to die and go to hell. It's one way or the other. Amen. And it just makes all the difference in the world what you do with Jesus. And so to be a son of God, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God said, thou shalt be saved. I want to give you some things tonight. Number one, it requires faith. We could go on there. I don't think there's any need to. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What the Bible say over there in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Amen. And the Bible talks about the faith, and that without it, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Word of God said of Abraham, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Brother Jason was talking a while ago about conviction. And when God came by, I had to either trust him or I had to turn him away. Amen. And thank God I trusted him. Amen. I said, Lord, you're right. For the first time in my life, I said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And beloved, we could put an all in front of that. God, you're all right and I'm all wrong. Amen. And when I acknowledge that, the Lord saved me by his grace. Amen. I'll never forget the day. It requires faith. But number two, when we're a son of God, not only does it require faith, beloved, to be able to cry, Abba, Father, but this is something that's not taught much. But this kind of relationship resists the flesh. Watch what the Bible said. The Bible said here, in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beloved, every one of us, when we got saved, we're in a battle. Amen? There was a battle going on for our soul. Amen? But let me say this. When we trust Jesus, the battle didn't stop. Amen? The battle's not going on for our soul now, but the battle's going on for our testimony. The battle's going on for those around us. The battle's going on for our joy. But a person that's genuinely a child of God is resisting the flesh. The Bible said, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not a subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Paul, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of the earth, he said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. In other words, beloved, we've got the old flesh. Yes, we do. But it has to be brought under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I read something last night that I really couldn't believe my eyes when I was reading it. It said there's much being said about a Christian being Spirit-filled and some Christians not being Spirit-filled. It said, every Christian is Spirit-filled. Honey, you're looking at a preacher, don't believe that. Amen. I do not believe every... I believe the Spirit of God indwells every child of God. But I don't believe the Spirit of God is controlling every child of God. Why did Paul say, if that was an automatic done when you're saved, why did he say to the church at Ephesus, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, amen? Why did he have to say that, amen? I'm telling you, sometimes I believe men get a little bit too educated for their own good. Amen. The Bible's teaching us we need to bring the flesh under. There has to be a submission. Humble yourself, the Bible said, under the mighty hand of God. I'll lift you up. What's God do? God resists the proud. But you take a man or a woman that will resist the flesh and go with the Spirit, then God draws nigh to that person. Amen. And that's part of that Abba Father. We could cry to Him. The Bible said you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. This brings about another doctrine. That's false doctrine. That people will say, well, you come and get saved. Now go back and seek the Holy Ghost. No. Honey, if you didn't leave the altar with the Holy Ghost, you left unsaved. Amen. And I've said this for years, and I believe it's true. Being Spirit-filled is not you and I getting more of God, but it's God getting more of you and I. We got all of God we're ever going to get when Jesus moved into our heart and into our life. But, beloved, the Bible talks about sanctification. That's not a... How many wish sanctification be a one and done? We could just run to an altar one time and say, God, here's my life. I swear, I've done that. And just get up and never have to fight the flesh again. Boy, I'm line me up. Amen. Show me where that line is. And line me up. I'm in. Amen. But it don't work that way. Why? How do you know, preacher? Because that great preacher I told you about, Paul, he said, I die daily. Every day of his life, that fellow he was looking at in the mirror had to be brought under. Amen. The influence and the control of the Spirit of God. Brother John, so he could stay in God's lap, amen, and stay close to Him and be able to cry, Abba, Father. So he could stay close to God and serve Him. The Bible said, but the Spirit, verse 11, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead. We're talking about positionally now because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We don't owe anything to our flesh. We owe it all to Jesus. Amen. We're debtors, not to the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So it requires faith, this Abba Father. It resists the flesh, this Abba Father. But then let me give you this, number three. These are just a few little notes I made in the margin of my Bible. It removes the fear. I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen. How many remembers when you laid down at night afraid? Amen. How many remembers, Brother Larry, when you drove up on a bad car wreck and eternity rolled through your mind a little bit and you knew you wasn't ready to meet God? But I'm going to tell you something right now. When you cry out, Father, glory to God. When I was a baby, listen, I'm talking about a young boy. Brother Mike, there wasn't nobody stronger than my daddy. There wasn't nobody smarter than my daddy. Amen. My daddy was learning. He was an adult, and he worked on a farm all of his life. And he went to work at a place where they made things out of metal, out of steel. And Dad didn't know how to read a tape measure. And so they took a piece of paper, and they made 1 inch on a piece of paper. There was a mark here and a mark here. That was 1 inch. There was a mark, a long mark in the middle, but not quite as long as them two. That was a half inch. Then there was one not quite as long as the one in the middle between them two. That was a quarter inch. I can remember as a boy, I couldn't have been over 6 or 7 years old. Daddy was learning how to read a tape measure. But guess what he was doing? He was teaching me while he was learning. He'd come home every day. All right, here's an eighth of an inch, son. And when you get past that other mark right there in the middle, that's 3/8 of an inch, son. When you get past that one in the middle between the two big ones, that's 5/8 of an inch, son. And I'm telling you, it thrilled Daddy to learn, and it thrilled him to teach me, and it thrilled me to learn. You say, Pastor, why did you talk about all of that? Because I tell you, I had such respect for my father. I didn't have to fear when my daddy was around. Say amen. I knew daddy was going to take care of me. Amen. I knew daddy loved me. I knew daddy'd do anything in this world. My mom years ago got him a 30-30 rifle. And in Maryland, you couldn't hunt with a rifle because of the houses and stuff were too close. It's just illegal to hunt with a high-powered rifle up there. And so dad was wanting to go rabbit hunting and take me. So he took that brand new rifle and traded it for two shotguns. So I'm just talking about a relationship with a heavenly father. And going back in my mind and thinking about a relationship with my earthly father. Amen. And I'm telling you, God wants us to get that close to him. Say amen. He wants us to have some of those memories in our spiritual life, like we do in our physical life. Amen. Times when we just know that God came through on our behalf because we jumped up in his lap. We were loving on him and he was loving on us. You say, God just reminded me of another verse. The Bible said here that you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know what some people do? They just trade the bondage of sin for the bondage of religion. They just jump over in some religion, amen, and all they done was trade one bondage for another. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. This what we're talking about tonight is not about religion. It's about a relationship. Amen. It's about freedom. Amen. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Amen. And Jesus said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I thought about a verse over there where it said this. I believe it's in 1 John. Perfect love. I don't think you'd get much more perfect love than in his lap. Abba, Father. Casteth out fear. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. The Bible, well, let me read it to you real quick. God just put something on my heart. Go to John, please. I think it's chapter 10. I think it's chapter number 10. The Bible said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Glory to God. We can be in his lap and be in his hand all at the same time. Watch this. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Look at verse 31. It magnifies what I've been saying. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They couldn't stand that, amen. They couldn't stand the fact that he made himself equal with the Father. Oh, beloved friend, tonight it removes fear. Let's go back over to Romans just a few minutes tonight. My time's about gone. And the Bible said it teaches us here that it requires faith to be a son of God. It resists the flesh when we're a son of God. It removes the fear when we're a son of God. But I want to give you something tonight, and I'm going to go to verse 28, and then I'm going to back up in the chapter. But the next thing I want to give you is that the person that's trusted Jesus, the person that is crying, Abba, Father, there is a refreshing foreknowledge. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse 28. We all quote this verse, and we should. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Brother Jason, think about this with that scripture you read a while ago. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. Just listen to me just a minute. Honey, God didn't even wait on me to be born to get mindful of me. He didn't even wait on me to be conceived to get mindful of me. Though the Bible teaches us in Psalm 139, he was looking at my substance when it was not even yet formed. Watch this now. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren, among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. A lot of people let predestination scare them. But let me say this. This will help you. If you get this right here, this is all you need with predestination. It doesn't apply to the lost. Amen? When a person is a son of God, we are predestinated to become conformed to the image of God's Son. Amen? God didn't pick out a bunch for hell and a bunch for heaven, but in God's foreknowledge, He knows who will receive Him and who will reject Him. God knows everything. Amen? We'd be foolish not to believe that. Watch this now. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. It blesses me tonight to think about this. In the eyes of God tonight, I know you can't tell it, and I can't tell it when I look in the mirror, and I can't tell it when I roll over in that bed in the morning. I don't feel like I'm glorified. But in the eyes of God, it's as good as done, honey. Amen? And it's been as good as done ever since that night in February 1987 when I said yes to the Master. It's as good as done. That don't make you want to run from Him. That makes you want to run to Him. Anybody that would love me that much, it makes me want to run to Him. And then tonight in closing, not only does it require faith and resist the flesh, it removes fear, and then it's the refreshing foreknowledge of it all, knowing that God, the Bible said, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The last thing in the message tonight is when we're a child of God, we have a rewarding future ahead of us. Look in verse number 18. I'm not going to go to the list tonight, but you remember some of the things in the list where Paul said he was shipwrecked, where he said he was beaten of the Jews, 39 with the 40 stripes save one, where it says he was let down outside the city there for dead. That's when actually let down in a basket. And when he was beaten is when we actually think that maybe he was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. But the Bible said he was in perils in the sea, in perils among countrymen, in perils among false brethren. Matter of fact, if you remember in the book of Acts when God called Paul, he said he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Ain't that what it said? He said he's going to suffer. But listen to verse 18. Paul's not just thinking about the suffering. He's thinking about, beloved, the day when the suffering is over. He said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Beloved, listen, God is going to reveal His glory in His children, in His church. I know there is a sense when where that God will not give His glory to another, as far as another God, so to speak, the little G-O-D-S's of this world. But go with me to John. I feel like I need to show you something right here. Beloved, in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 22. Jesus said, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. You know the reason we can have unity is because God gave us His glory. He said that they may be one, even as we are one. You think about that tonight. Jesus said right there, and the glory which Thou hast given me, I have given them. Now listen, if Christ is in us, how many believes He is? You reckon He moved in without His glory? Help me. When He moved into our life, honey, His glory come right on in with Him. Say amen. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works, then glorify your Father which is in heaven. How many's got a light in and of yourself? No, sir. We ain't got no light. Say amen. But Jesus, when he's in there, we ought to let the glory shine. Say amen. That he brought in there with him. So it's a rewarding future. The Bible said the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I love it. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. But because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope. The hope that's seen is not hope, but what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We've got some trees there at the house. Eventually, I think they'll have to come out. They're hemlocks. Great old big, it's a form of a pine tree. And when the storms come, I like to watch their limbs. I mean, they just back and forth. Great old, they catch a lot of wind, the hemlock does. Back and forth. Look in Isaiah with me for just a moment. I'm telling you what's going to come. Isaiah chapter 55. The Bible said here, in verse number 12, this is talking about the day ahead in the future for the children of God. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Brother Junior, I wonder what they're going to sound like. Amen. When the mountains go to singing and the hills go to singing. Amen. And I've heard some hillbillies sing good, but the hills are going to sing. Shall break forth before you into singing. Watch this now. This is what I was thinking about those hemlocks. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, beloved, that's what we're looking at in the future. That we as the children of God, instead of the thorn tree shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's the future that we have in front of us as the sons of God. Verse 35, I'll read this and quit. The Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? How many believe Paul knew what tribulation was? He knew what distress was. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. He said, as written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Let me just plug something in right there. How many believe we're no better than the early church? I do not believe the church is going through the great tribulation that you're teaching about getting ready to, Brother Jason. But I do believe this. Honey, the heat may be turned up on the church before we leave here. We're no better than the early church. Amen. I'm telling you, churches that believe this Bible, churches that preach against sin, churches that won't go along with society, say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we may pay a price for that one day after a while. But the Bible said here, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I love this, for I'm persuaded. We're talking about the future, the sons of God. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're headed home. Amen. And we might as well act like it along the way. Amen. We might as well enjoy the journey. Amen. We're going somewhere. We're God's youngins, and we're going somewhere. If you're not God's youngin, it's time you better study about that. You better know that. Amen. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Brother Eddie, those years I spent in prison, I don't know how many prisoners I talked to like this. They would have that question mark. And I would say, what size shoe do you wear? And they'd answer me. I'd say, how much do you weigh? They'd answer me. How tall are you? They'd answer me. How old are you? They'd answer me. I mean, just bang, bang, bang. They'd just answer the question just like that right there. And then I'd say, are you saved? You see, just as well as I can tell you that I had a birthday the last day of 59, there's a certificate that says so. I can tell you I had another one in 1987. Amen. Just as sure as I can tell you I wear a size 13 shoe and weigh 200 none of your business pounds, just as sure as I can tell you those things, I can tell you I'm saved by the grace of God. If it was dependent on me, I couldn't say that for sure. But it ain't dependent on me. It's dependent on Him. Amen. And God, the Bible said, cannot lie. Amen. He's promised us eternal life. You glad you come tonight?